Talking with Ryan Campbell on this weekend's Motherlode Views. He is a supervisor for District 2 and the vice chair of the Board of Supervisors for this year. Supervisor Campbell, next thing I want to get into is the budget. And I'll point out that we are recording this interview prior to Friday's special meeting looking at the future of the juvenile hall. So with that being said, you know, what is kind of your reaction to the current budget challenges in the county?
Well, where to begin? So we're looking at substantial impacts to services with our budget. That just right off the top, there's no doubt about that. And there are a limited number of areas for us to look at making cuts. That's the other part. We've looked at all of the services that we have to provide and then all of the services that are reimbursed by the state, so those that don't come out of the general fund, that it wouldn't make sense for us to cut those programs anyway because the money is coming from somewhere else. What we're left with is about $4.6 million that we have to come up with. And as you recall, last year we went through a pretty severe budget cut period as well. And in my view, that was structured well. I think we made the cuts that we needed to have a healthy organization. We also sought tax measures. So one was a 1% sales tax and one was a transient occupancy tax increase of 2%. And both of those failed. Couple that with COVID-19, and we've basically had the floor drop out beneath our sales tax revenues, our revenues that come in from the hospitality industry, from parks, from people renting county facilities. All of these things have just completely evaporated. And so we're dealing with this huge double whammy of having to look at diminished revenues and also having to look at all of these impacts from COVID-19. And so it's going to be a really big challenge. Now, I'm confident that the stay-at-home order and some of the actions that the county's taken through public health have saved lives. I think it was worthwhile to do some of these closures, but we're going to suffer because of it in other ways. And as far as the juvenile hall, you know, that is going to be a struggle as well. I would say coming into this job about a year and a half ago, I was not a fan of the juvenile hall. I can say that. Not by any means the way it's operated or the staff that works there. I think the programs that they do really help kids, and they save kids from our community from becoming institutionalized and getting into trouble later in life. But it is very expensive, and it's always been very expensive. I think one of the things that I struggled with is seeing people talk about the juvenile hall as though it's being mismanaged. It's not. It is being managed very well. The operating costs were always going to be what they are, which is about $1.5 million, you know, about $1.2 to $1.5 million, say, operating costs for the juvenile hall. That was always the plan. And so I would say that opinion of mine has changed a bit. I care about the juvenile hall. I want to see it succeed, but it's extremely expensive.
You know, other topics that have been discussed, the future of recreation and library services, what are your thoughts and opinions on those matters?
Well, I'm a huge fan of libraries. That's kind of how I got my start in public service. I volunteered there for a number of years. And obviously how I think a big part of the person I am today is because I participated in team sports in county facilities. And so I have a very strong desire to keep those going as well. COVID-19 has really undercut a lot of our ability to provide those services right off the top. We are not sure. So we're in phase two now with COVID-19 response from the governor. And we're not really clear on where libraries fit into that. We are looking at having a model where it's sort of a drive-up model if you want to rent books or return them. But the thing is, our libraries are used for much more than just renting books. In fact, I'd say that's sort of a secondary use of it now. It's more of a community center. It's where people go to use computers, to look for jobs. We have children programs there. We have English as a Second Language programs there, continuing education, just a variety of resources provided through the libraries. And there, again, it's at a relatively low cost. You know, if you look at the library's budget, it's about $1.1 million. And look at the utility we're getting out of that. I mean, thousands of people per week go through that, either our main branch on Green Street or the branches in Groveland, Tuolumne, or Twain Hart. So we get a big bang for our buck there, and, you know, cutting the library, really, it's not going to solve our problem, because if you look at a $1.1 million item in the budget, in a $4.6 million budget shortfall, you know, that doesn't even get us where we need to be. So we're going to have to be creative and look at ways to get as much out of these services for the public as we can for as low a cost as we can. But I can say pretty confidently that we're going to have some diminished services to the public coming out of this budget negotiation.
How about the idea that's been floated to have the recreation services, the people who take part, pay almost the full price to provide those services?
Well, you know, on paper that looks good. But the fact is, if we charge kids $13 a day to use the pools, they're not going to use the pools. You know, there's just no model that I see where we charge full cost for recreation services where people will pay it. One of the things I mentioned at the last board meeting is that, you know, I'd be okay at looking at 50% recovery of cost for some of our facilities, perhaps. But if you look at Standard Park, I mean, you're talking $8,000 for a weekend or more to rent that facility, and that's just not feasible for some of our soccer teams and some of the people that use that. So we need to strike a balance where we're covering as much of the cost as we can, but not shooting ourselves in the foot by encouraging people to go elsewhere or just not use our facilities at all. I did support the idea of having nonprofits pay to rent facilities, but there were, you know, it's really not going to be enough money to shore up this budget shortfall just by itself.
What's your opinion of Sheriff Pooley's plan for the jail for this next year, kind of toning it back to about 150 inmates during this first year?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's a great plan. I think Sheriff Pooley has done more to kind of bring our fiscal house in order with the sheriff's office than anyone in a long time. And it's really nice being able to work with him on that. The thing about the jail is it's expensive because it was essentially built for a population of 70 to 80,000 people. But our population is about 52,000. And so we don't have the population or the tax base to really support a jail that big. And so the sheriff's plan has essentially scaled down the operating of that jail to a size that I think fits our community a lot better. So in that regard, I think it's a great plan, and there's significant cost savings over what we were looking at. You know, there was the potential there for it to be an extra $1 million. And so I think through Sheriff Pooley's work, it's reduced that to significantly less.
You also mentioned during the March election that the proposed tax measures failed, one for the sales tax, another for the TOT. At the last supervisors meeting, you kind of brought up the question of whether that should be looked at further for the November ballot. Is that something you're looking seriously at pushing forward for?
I'm looking very seriously at it. Now, the sales tax, I thought was, you know, if we're being honest here, I thought 1% was too high. And I did not think that a 1% sales tax would fly. I think our community came back with a resounding no for that. I think the transient occupancy tax was much more well-received by our community. And the reason for that is, if you look at the cost for the services that we provide, law enforcement, fire protection, our libraries, parks, recreation opportunities in our community, all of these things carry a cost with them. And so one way or another, someone is paying for those costs. And so I think with the I'll tell you this, I think the transient occupancy tax right now is artificially low. It's 10% when many of our neighbors are 12 to 14%. And I think with a low TOT, what you're doing is you're taking some of the costs of those services that we have to provide, like sheriff, like fire, and you're putting them onto the backs of property taxpayers. Now, I'm not comfortable with that. I think that visitors to our community are welcome to enjoy our recreation, our resources, our parks, and the services that the county provides, but they need to pay their fair share. So I do support increasing the TOT, and that ballot measure did fail in the last ballot, but it didn't fail by as much as the sales tax. It failed by about 4%. So I think that there is a much stronger appetite among the community for recovering some of those costs because, you know, frankly, somebody's got to pay for it. And so I don't feel comfortable asking our residents and our property taxpayers to subsidize people coming from out of the county to recreate and the services that they consume. And that's why I support raising the TOT.
Would a decision have to be made pretty quickly to get it on that November ballot?
Well, it has to be. We're going to have a meeting the first week of July. I think it's July 7th. And we'll discuss it at that point, and it'll have to be ratified for the ballot by, I think, August 1st.
So stay tuned.
Yeah. Yeah, there'll be more discussion about that.
Need to take one more break. Again, we're joined on the telephone this weekend by Ryan Campbell, who is the supervisor for District 2 in Tuolumne County. During this last segment, talked a lot about the budget. And as I mentioned during the beginning of the segment, this was recorded before Friday's budget hearings and discussions by the Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors. You can find all the latest information in regards to what happened at that meeting up in the full story on mymotherlode.com. This weekend show also highlighting issues like the census count and COVID-19, the response. We'll get into that topic in just a minute. Coming up on Motherlode Views. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment coming up in just a minute.